The pencils are sharp. The brackets are ready. Your winners are selected, and the bets are on the table. That's right, it's time for March Mammal Madness. Where we pit the world's mightiest and even smallest mammals to see who will succeed and be crowned the best of the animal kingdom. Here's Kristen Bry, Brian Noonan, and Rhea Riley.
It almost sounds like those sheep are saying, yeah.
All right, so here we go. Brian, what are we doing?
This is very exciting. I found this last year. It's been going on since 2013. March Mammal Madness. It's a tournament that's styled after the NCAA college basketball tournament. It weaves research and science in a storytelling format. It asks the question, what would happen and who will win when two combatants encounter each other in an absurdly complex and wonderfully nerdy way? A simulated tournament with a structured game universe. It is March Mammal Madness. So, we want you playing along. Rhea, can you explain, first of all, how people can play along, and they can text in now and follow along as we're describing it?
Yes, we have all the information up on our website, WTMJ.com. Underneath, if you text our talk and text line, mammal, you'll have all the information there. We'll have a printable bracket for you to play along with our brackets and any other information they have from the official website.
All right, so that's 855-616-1620. Text MAMMAL, M-A-M-M-A-L, and we will send you all the resources you need to play along with us, because a lot of animals that I didn't even know existed, if I'm being totally honest.
That's part of the fun.
A lot of this was a shot in the dark. We should say that we're already past...
Yes.
Round one.
So if you go and you download your blank bracket, mm-hmm. Round one was already completed. So tonight is the first set of games for round number two. There are four divisions, much like in the NCAA. They're same and different, which are different lineages with similar traits. They're the only ones, which are species that are the last or only living species of their genus. There's tuxedo style. That's mammals who are monochromatic. And finally, roots and relicts. Not relic. There's the T in there. Add the last T for, I don't know, whatever. But those are species that have endured for millions of years, mostly unchanged, or in a remnant population. And a relict is a thing which has survived from an earlier period or in a primitive form.
So it's still an animal. It's not an animal that's extinct.
No, it's an
animal. Just very, very, they've been around for a long time.
Take a look when you're filling out round two in the roots and relics category, because you may be surprised by some of the combatants. And you're thinking, Brian, how on earth do these battles take place? First of all, it's Arizona State University. They do this. They have researchers and biologists and all kind of scientists doing this. So, say, for example, in tonight's battle, there is in the tuxedo style, there is a battle between a polar bear and a Cape buffalo. The individual animal at its peak combat condition represents the species. Could be male, could be female, doesn't matter. In this round, rounds one, two, and three, the lower seed has, or the higher seed, no, who's the lowest? The worst seeded team is the visitor. So seed number one, you have home court advantage.
Which means basically the difference between land or water.
It depends. For example, the Cape buffalo was a fourth seed, and the polar bear is a number one seed. So the polar bear has home turf advantage. Now, both are land animals.
Okay.
Polar bears swim, but the polar bear has a thing. Then what happens is they put this simulation in play. As we get further on in rounds 4, 5, and 6, which is the elite trait, the final roar, and the championship, there are four separate biospheres that are randomly chosen for the battles.
Oh,
I didn't know that.
So it could be a sea cave, a geothermal wetland, a sky island, or a temperate broadleaf forest. That's right, friends. We are learning as we play these games. And Rhea, we have links, right, to the results, because the results, they play the games at night. And if you're really nerdy, you can listen to the play-by-play call of each battle.
So do they like ChatGPT's doing like a simulation of what these things would look like if they were fighting?
No, I watched it actually yesterday.
Yeah.
What is the video like?
They have like these like fake animals. There's a giraffe, a lion, I think a koala, and they come out and they kind of explain the duel.
Yep.
Yeah, so I watched like one of round one, like a random one. My mom and I watched it, and it was so funny.
So you're not actually watching a battle?
No. Well, they'll like mimic a battle and explain it.
Did you think they would bring a polar bear and a buffalo?
CGI is a hell of a thing now these days as far as like the having the access to be like, all right. But think about what ChatGPT can do. I was like, I want to see a narwhal fight an alligator. Go.
I'll tell you, I put some of these
in a
geothermal wetland. ChatGPT was all over some of these fights. Mm-hmm. ChatGPT was like, "Man, that is an unbelievable matchup. Let's see what it does." I only did that for the second round. Then I picked on my own. So, all right, round two starts mm-hmm. tonight. Tonight and the 24th, there will be games. We will then report back after the 24th with the results of round two mm-hmm. and predict as we go into the elite trait. Is that correct?
Yes.
That is correct.
All right.
So get your bracket, but let's see. What are some of your winners for the next two nights, Kristen?
So the next two nights, which groups are we going through?
Why don't you give us your winners in tuxedo style for round two?
All right, so I have between a bear and a Tasmanian devil, I have the polar bear winning.
Okay.
For between the taper, and a buffalo, I have the buffalo winning.
Good pick.
Between the ribbon seal and the tamundua. Southern Tamundua, I have the seal. A narwhal versus an eastern spotted skunk, I have the narwhal. A mountain zebra versus a yak, I have a yak.
All right. Mm-hmm. I like all that. I had the narwhal. I had my round one winners pretty much just like yours. Then I go into round two. I've got the polar bear and the buffalo squaring off, the seal and the yak squaring off. In that division, Roots and Relics, I've got the tortoise facing the seal and a alligator gar taking on a frilled shark.
Now, did you look those ones up, the alligator gar and the frilled shark?
Yeah, they're really weird. They're the ugliest fish. Yes. They're terrifying. They
absolutely
look like dinosaurs. They look like what would be on like the Stranger Things character.
You know why? Because they have survived for millions of years with very little change. Rhea, what's your same and different
My same and different.
Like?
So I had the deer mm-hmm. versus a Cody.
Oh, that's what I've got.
Okay, nice. And then I had the sun bear versus the snake.
I also have the sun bear versus the snake.
All right.
I have sun bear versus Kalugo.
It is cute.
Sun bear is very, I don't know how ferocious sun bears are.
Very ferocious.
Really?
That's what I learned.
Okay.
Yeah, sun bears are not to be played
good,
with.
Good, they're in my final four.
I went with the Kalugo, too.
Say.
Dun-dun-dun.
What about the only ones, ladies?
The addicts versus the wolf. And the puma versus the saiga. Mm-hmm.
I have that game.
I have the same as well.
All right.
I've got the addicts versus the peccary.
Whatever that is.
I forget what it is, but I know there was a reason I picked it.
I like animals. This is proven that I don't like animals that much because there's a lot on here that I have never
had to look
heard
up
of.
Most of them, yeah.
Who did you pick to win it all?
Oh, of course, a polar bear.
I got the narwhal.
All right.
Yeah,
and
shocking.
I also have polar bear. So taking
this is
this is
part of any smart bracket fill out. If you go with what the obvious choice is, it's harder to actually win the whole thing. That's like when you pick like the overall top seed in the actual basketball mm-hmm. tournament, you know, it's hard because there's a lot of people who all get knocked out at the same time, or there's a lot of people who have the same person. So sometimes picking that random.
I mean, the narwhal was a choice, though.
I know.
Yeah, but that.
Mostly just because I like narwhals.
Yeah.
The polar bear comes out of a pretty easy division of monochromatic animals. Polar bear was the only really apex predator in that division.
Unless it's a starving one.
Could be. Oh. Okay. I'm not throwing shade at the narwhal. Last year, I bet everything that the shark was going to beat the giant squid, and I was defeated.
I thought you said the shark won.
No, I was wrong. I went back and looked. The giant squid won. Yeah.
Watch it be the frilled shark takes it all.
I know. Or a plant or something.
Yeah, just a ginkgo Belize. All right, listen, if you want to play along, text MAMMAL, that's 2-M-A-M-M-A-L, make sure you spell it right, and you can play along, you can follow through. We're going to have, of course, we're watching basketball because the Badgers are up 84-64 with a minute 13 left, but we're also watching the fact that tonight a polar bear is taking on a Tasmanian devil. So it will be a lot of fun. We'll get to more after this. It's Fanning the State. You have a narwhal fact for us?
This is why narwhals was on my brain and I think why I chose them. So,
did you just watched Elf?
Is narwhals in Elf?
Yeah, at the beginning. He says goodbye to the narwhal.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yes. Bye, all right, buddy. So scientists now, this has happened this last week.
Okay.
They have their first recorded video evidence of narwhals using tusks, because they're basically the unicorn of the sea, right?
Right.
Not only to strike and manipulate fish during feeding, but also to engage in what appears to be playful behavior.
Oh, like a little poke?
Yeah.
Stop poking me. Why are you hitting yourself?
So basically, it's been an enigma of what the tusk is actually used for. Yeah. And the scientists have observed very few interactions of narwhals in their natural habitat, creating speculation about the purpose of the species' distinctive spiraling tusk. But yeah, so there's now new evidence that maybe they use it for play.
Nice. See, you're going to learn and we're going to have fun. So text MAMMAL to 855-616-1620 and play along with us during March Mammal Madness.
Absolutely. All right. Well, when we come back, have you early voted yet? Because a lot of people already have. So we'll talk about that and that referendum. But first, ABC News and local headlines.
It's Spanning the State. I'm Brian Noonan.
And I'm Kristen Bry. And I may have to eat my words.
Because?
Well, I think I've certainly wrote an article about that, or op-ed about this, but I feel like I talked about it on air, too, of feeling like, because of the news cycle, because of the national news, how much of the oxygen was getting sucked up, and people not necessarily, according to the Marquette poll, feeling like they knew enough about the Supreme Court race. But also in general, sometimes our April spring elections, they never have the turnout that the presidential elections do. But I was kind of thinking that maybe turnout would be lower than what we saw in 2023, because in 2023 it seemed kind of all consuming. But early voting started on Tuesday, and very early numbers indicate that people are excited to vote. So more than twice as many Wisconsinites cast in-person absentee ballots on the first day of early voting for Wisconsin's April Supreme Court election compared to the same period 2 years ago, which was the last Supreme Court race. So clerks across the state report receiving nearly 29,000 more votes this year than at the same point in 2023's Supreme Court race. And when you combine early voting in person and mail-in absentee ballots, clerks have received 85,612 absentee votes, which is 28,793 more than 2023. So that works out to be nearly a 51% increase.
Nice.
So
shows a couple things. One, that you don't have to know a lot about the candidates to vote. And two, that despite all the national stuff that you talked about in your column and we've talked about here, people will pay attention to things that affect them directly.
Yeah.
And affect them in their mind more immediately than big national issues.
Yeah. So it'll be interesting to watch if that trend continues.
Yeah.
But I mean, we're always a fan of more people voting than less
people
voting. Yes,
the more the merrier. And one of the notes you put in there, that the three most populous counties, of course, they're the ones who are leading the way.
So Waukesha, Dane, and Milwaukee have the most votes so far, but that should surprise no one,
nobody,
since they're the most heavily populated.
More people, more votes.
So if you check myvote.wi.gov, myvote.wi.gov. I should have that tattooed on my arm at this point in my life. to check and make sure your municipality offers early voting. If it does, it could. It's up to March 30th, but then voting in person on April 1st. If you did not register to vote online yet, you will be able to do that in person at your polling station. And so there is. The big one is obviously the Supreme Court race. We talked about DPI, public instruction earlier. And there is also the other statewide.
Yes.
And what would Wisconsin election be without a referendum question to change our Constitution?
We got to have it.
We got to have it, right? We basically can't have it.
One word like that proposed one for the citizenship, and it was...
And that passed.
Right, but it was odd because it was like, well, we already have that law. Yes, but now we have this word in this law, and that makes it better. So this referendum, you mentioned going to a vote, make sure you have your ID, and that's what this is all about.
So that's what this is about. So right now... You should know that you have to, in Wisconsin,
yes,
you have to show an ID to vote. For nearly a decade, Wisconsin has required voters to show a photo identification at the polls or to vote absentee. And so this referendum is not asking, should we get rid of this law? It is asking if we should put that law in our Constitution.
Okay. What is the argument for putting it in the Constitution?
So that it can't be undone, or that the how hard it becomes to make it to ever undo
to overturn it.
Yeah. So basically, this is Republican lawmakers passed this through two consecutive legislative sessions. And the argument being that if, say, Democrats ever had a trifecta of the Assembly, mm-hmm, Senate, and the governor's office, maybe they would try to pass a bill to not require photo ID, or even though this has been challenged in the courts before, if it were ever to make it through the courts and have a lower court or the Wisconsin Supreme Court overturn this law.
Right.
If it's in our Constitution, it is much harder for that to ever happen. So basically, if you vote yes on this, we change our Constitution.
Which always is fun and easy.
And if we vote no, nothing changes. You will still have to show your ID. Everyone will still have to show their ID at the next election, even if this doesn't pass.
And it sounds pretty simple. And 80% of the voters in Wisconsin are for this.
It's a very voter ID is a very popular law.
But it used to be there. I have changed my thoughts on this only because of all the people that we've talked to on this program talking about how hard it is for some people to get ID.
Mm-hmm.
Because I used to think, well, everybody has an ID. You get an ID when you get your driver's license, or if you're not driving, you get your... And then over time, I've learned, as I hope some other people have learned from listening to the show, that some groups do have a much harder time getting an ID, and that's where the rub comes in, because if you're disenfranchising voters who have a legal right to vote, other than they don't have a little piece of plastic with their picture on it, that's where things get a little shady.
But it's just hard because I feel like messaging that is hard.
Right,
because
exactly.
On its face, I think a lot of people hear, like, well, you used to think, it's like, how hard can it be to get an ID? And it's not like a quick explanation to explain the barriers for some people to get an ID. So it's not like a great messaging campaign to
really
have
hard.
More people understand it. And so, like I said, it's a very popular law. It is the law right now, just like non-citizens
can't vote.
If we're not able to vote even before we pass the referendum in the fall. But here we are. So those are the three things that no matter where you live in Wisconsin will be on your ballot, along with other local races for school board or judges or maybe your mayors or city council. So again, myvote.wi.gov,
and you can
check out your ballot.
We all know people love doing their own research. We learned that 5 years ago. Everybody likes to do their research. Just if you're wondering about this voter ID thing, just Google how hard is it for some people to get an ID. And then read that and decide, and that will help inform your vote.
What group of people have difficulties getting IDs? People who, a lot of times, students, as far as what their ID, their addresses or residency, communities of color. If you don't have some of the identification you need to get an ID, access to getting to the DMV can be difficult. But I will send you an article.
Yeah, we'll send you something. And everybody else, do a, you know, look it up. We're not telling you which way to vote one way or another. Just like I did, educate yourself a little. And listen, if I can educate myself, you can educate yourself. You know who needs to educate themselves?
Who?
Republican candidates and politicians who always want to use people's music without permission and music that may not align with the band's support or non-support for them. Another instance has come to light. We'll talk about that and more. It's Spanning the State.
Closing time. Open all the doors and let you out into the world.
Welcome back to Spanning the State. I'm Kristen Bry.
I'm Brian Noonan. We're open for a little bit more, but you know, you've heard this song by Semisonic.
Absolutely.
I love this song. It's a great song. It's usually played at a lot of bars at the end of the night. Imagine if it was played over the visual of a person being detained, handcuffed, and drug away to deportation. Would that change the song for you a little bit?
Would be very weird.
Well, and imagine if you were Semisonic and you wrote this song and it's about hope, and then you see it used in this video. That's exactly what happened. Semisonic, you know, from Minneapolis, they're protesting the White House's use of their song, showing a handcuffed deportee, and that they posted on social media. It was on X on Monday. Shows a shackled man being frisked, followed by several men being led onto a plane with the words Border Patrol in the foreground. And then they put lyrics from the song over the as captions over the video. Closing time, you don't have to go home, but you can't stay here. Very, very tasteful. It shows our government really has a handle on diplomacy and humanity and how we should treat people. Yes, if you're a criminal and you're being deported, but you don't have to rub somebody's nose in it. And it doesn't.
The White House social media has surely had a makeover as far as the trolling aspect of it,
and
who it's trying to mock, or it's not the most professional thing I've ever seen in the world.
And who are you trying to impress? I mean,
it's the manosphere, right? It's this like very online group of people who, you know, owning the libs, and there's some people who saw that and are like, and think it's awesome.
Yeah.
Right. And think that is, we're here. The administration is doing what they said they were doing. They're getting criminals out of the country. They're celebrating getting criminals out of the country. The only thing is, I saw this morning, I think it was through Washington Post. One of the people who was deported to El Salvador, mm-hmm. who is Venezuelan, but is not a member of the gang,
sure,
is now in El Salvador, and he's not a gang member, right? And so he was round up, and he was sent to a different country instead of being deported back to Venezuela. And so, because of the fast pace of which they're rounding people up, you know, people's lives are being ruined.
Right,
and I mean, it's not unlike the story we were talking about yesterday with the
Ma Yang
with the being deported to Laos, even though she doesn't speak the language, has never been to the country, just abandoning people in places that they don't know.
Right. And again, if you're proven to be a criminal and you're being deported, okay, that's right. We should deport these violent criminals. But you can't just round everybody up who looks the same and go, well, and I think they're speaking Spanish. We'll just send them all here because they're part of a gang. It's ridiculous. And Semisonic came out on X again and they said, quote, "We did not authorize or condone the White House use of our song Closing Time in any way. And no, they didn't ask. The song is about joy and possibilities and hope, and they have missed the point entirely." And then, oh, man, spokesperson Barbie came out yesterday, Caroline Leavitt. She's a peach. She said, quote, "Our entire government clearly is leaning into the message of this president." What does that mean? I don't know. This is not the first time that musicians have come out against not only Donald Trump, but other candidates. Mostly, this probably won't surprise you. most of the complaints have been against Republican politicians or candidates.
Okay.
Because, you know, the music industry, fairly liberal.
Artists usually more liberal right. than not.
So like Aerosmith, Beyonce, Phil Collins, Panic at the Disco, R.E.M., Rihanna, The Stones, Sinead O'Connor, Prince, Tom Petty, Foo Fighters, Guns N' Roses, Elton John. But there were some Democrats who were told, hey, quit using our song. This one really surprised me.
Okay.
Barack Obama
okay.
was told by Sam and Dave, the most relevant duo since 1955, to not stop using Hold On, I'm Coming in 2008.
How does that sound?
I'm coming.
Hold on.
Yeah.
Because I'm coming. Yeah, yep. I know that. Okay.
So Sam and Dave said
all
no.
All right.
And
no then, in 2008.
That was 2008. And then Sting. But he did unilaterally. He told Al Gore and George Bush to stop using Brand New Day in 2000.
They both were using it?
Both were using it. And Sting said, I want nothing to do with either one of you guys. So enough.
Well, it's interesting because it's one thing to use it at your rallies, but now with the advent of social media,
yep.
because this is a thing that people might not know about social media, is that if you are a business account, there's a lot of songs
right.
that you can't, or trending sounds and stuff that you can't use on
oh,
your TikTok
right?
or your Instagram.
Okay.
But as a creator account or a private account, you can, because of monetization or whatever. And so I don't know where government accounts fall on that as far as the access of being able to use a song on your social media
right.
or if there is a permission process for that.
Doesn't seem like anybody asks permission anymore, and nobody's given forgiveness if you're an artist. All right, let's do this. Then we'll come back and wrap it up. Spanning the State.
I believe it's time for me to fly.
All right, the Badgers.
There you go. Very happy,
very excited.
Now you got to wear the jersey every game.
Oh, maybe I will.
It's like that superstition.
Back on Saturday.
Very nice.
We'll see if we cheer for Marquette or not tomorrow.
There'll be a lot of cheering upstairs.
I know I should root for the home team, and it's good for Milwaukee.
Yeah, until they play the Bay.
That bloodline is like, Marquette.
And Steve will be in with you tomorrow, so that'll be fun.
Yes. And yes. You'll be back. I'll be gone on Monday, so we won't see each other until Tuesday.
Well, good luck to the Badgers on Saturday. Have a good weekend. I will talk to everybody on Monday. Kristen will talk to you tomorrow. Wisconsin's Afternoon News is next.
See ya.